Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now our guest is Stephen Williams, who, along with his wife, Sarah, has written a book called Navigating Public Schools. Now, Stephen has a background of having taught in public schools for years and years and years, and frankly feels that it's a very anti-Christian environment for the most part. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to be with you.
Am I summarizing that correctly?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look out there, whether it's news articles of, boy, just a couple weeks ago, that second grader who had the police called on him for reading some scriptures that his mom wrote on his lunchbox, you know, during lunch. At times it can be very hostile, but we make the case also that it's not always that way.
Where did you teach?
I taught down in Cupertino, California for 10 years, and through that time,
Is that in the greater Los Angeles area?
I know it's in the Bay Area, the South Bay Area.
Oh, so the greater San Francisco area.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and while I was teaching there, kind of this anti-Christian hostility reared its ugly head. I love teaching history using primary source documents.
Yes.
And one year, a parent started to complain, and the school district started to censor documents like William Penn's Frame of Government.
Wow.
They were studying about Pennsylvania, and he quotes Romans 13. And so the school district said that violates the separation of church and state. And so the district started to censor primary source documents of our nation's history, including parts of the Declaration of Independence.
That is our birth certificate as a nation. You know, that's really an amazing thing because, for example, if you look at the original decision related to the Bible and the public schools, I wrote about this in a column a few years ago, but anyway, 1962 was the first school prayer, but the 63 they dealt with the Bible. I believe it was Abington versus Shemp, off the cuff, but anyway, bottom line is they said what we're not allowing and what we're saying is not permitted in the public school is using the Bible as a devotional source as opposed to, you know, using the Bible for literature or using the Bible for history. So that school district was going well beyond what the Supreme Court actually said in the original decision that, you know, that dealt with this.
That's exactly right, Jerry. There's a total misunderstanding of a separation of church and state. And you have sometimes teachers, sometimes entire school districts falsely implementing that you know, misunderstanding. And so you end up with, at times, a hostility towards Christianity because of it. And the good news is there are great school districts out there as well. So we actually make the point in the introduction, this book is not to say get your kids out of public schools, and it's also not to say you have to educate in the public school system. What we say is pray and seek the Lord where you should educate your kids. And then if it's in the public school system, this book is written to be a valuable go-to resource for those people.
Oh, excellent. Okay, where else did you teach?
My entire teaching career was, down in that South Bay, Cupertino.
Oh, okay, so that was the whole thing. And what have you been doing since? I'm just curious.
So we started a ministry called Prepare the Way through this court case, and it got crazy media attention. I felt the Lord leading to start a ministry to encourage believers how they can engage people when they kind of get this pushback. So in particular with public schools, if the Lord leads you there, or the book is also written for teachers, administrators,
sure,
volunteers, youth pastors, you know, Christian club leaders, you know, for them to have the resources to know how they can live out their faith on public school campuses.
Okay, the website is preparetheway.us. Tell us about the lawsuit itself. I didn't realize that this then, you know, came down to a lawsuit.
Yeah, you know, when the censorship started to happen, I called Alliance Defending Freedom, one of the great Christian legal firms in our nation.
Yes.
And they helped walk me through it. And so we filed the lawsuit. It went kind of ballistic. And Handing Combs and Good Morning America was calling and all these LA Times, New York Times. So there was a media frenzy for a couple of months, and the school district was hoping that this liberal Ninth Circuit, you know, court would just throw the case out. Well, even this really liberal judge in San Jose, when we met, he said you have grounds to go forward with the case. And so all we wanted the school district to say is that you have the right to teach primary source documents, even if they have Christian language in them. So we got them to put that in writing and filed it in federal court. And so we had an out-of-court, settlement to it that other teachers can reference today.
Oh, that's great. Now, have you seen the movie God's Not Dead 2?
Oh, yeah. I love both of those movies. Great movies.
Yes, but God's Not Dead 2 sounds like your case, only it was a female teacher versus a male.
It really was. I actually contacted them. I said, hey, the parallels between, your case that that's a fictional case,
yes,
but mine was a real-life case. Were really stark and interesting.
Well, good for you to have fought back. I do remember that name Cupertino. Through the years, it's almost a blur with all the church-state cases because there's so many of them. And by the way, you may be happy to know that the ultimate founder of this radio station, this radio ministry, was Dr. D. James Kennedy, who was one of the key co-founders of the Alliance Defending Freedom. They're doing great work.
They are, and yeah, thanks for D. James Kennedy. What an amazing legacy to follow on with what he started. And it's just sad when so many Christians are deceived that they think they can't live out their faith in certain areas of our public sector, and they really can. And that's the whole point of this book, is I pray that it's an encouragement for believers involved in any way in the schools to live out their faith.
All right, now, let me ask you a question. When it comes to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., it's an interesting aspect of God's Not Dead 2. He was, of course, a Baptist minister. His writings are filled with references about Jesus and so forth and quotes from the Bible and so forth. You wonder, in today's milieu, could a public school teacher actually quote Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. if he's quoting the Bible? By the way, do you know in the I Have a Dream speech, he quotes Isaiah chapter 40. He doesn't say that's Isaiah 40, but nor do we normally. In our normal everyday conversation, we may say something like, well, for God so loved the world, and that's a direct reference to John 3:16, but we don't have to follow it up with John 3:16. We normally don't speak that way, nor did Dr. King.
In the book, we reference all of these different documents that show Christians how they can live out their faith on public schools. And directly to that point, Jerry, one of the documents is religious expression in public schools. The United States Department of Education has already put out guidelines in this area. And in that document, it says you can teach about the Bible, including using the Bible as literature. So totally legally, a teacher can use Psalm, say, 119. It's an acrostic poem of the Hebrew alphabet. They could, in Psalm 119, mm-hmm. all the references to the Bible and being the Word of God. You can use that psalm as literature because it's an acrostic poem and as an example of an acrostic poem, completely legally.
Interesting. We're talking right now with Stephen Williams, a former public school teacher. He and his wife have written a book called Navigating Public Schools. PrepareTheWay.us is their website. 1,400 hours of indoctrination every year is what you say that goes on in the public schools for the average student. Is that right?
If kids are in a teacher's classroom in elementary school, they're there 7 hours a day typically, and that ends up being about 1,400 hours a year. If that teacher is coming from an anti-Christian worldview, that's going to be blatant indoctrination. So we walk through, we have a whole chapter 10, watch out for worldview pirates. And so we talk about how do you handle conflict in a gracious, courteous, and respectful way, but yet how do you protect your children? And in that scenario, we would say get your kids out of an elementary school teacher who's hostile. Thankfully, not all teachers are hostile. There's some many, many teachers out there who your kids will get an excellent education in their classroom.
Okay, and by the way, this is one area where perhaps the Bible Belt, or at least the remnants of the Bible Belt, may be helpful for some people in the sense that maybe it's not as hostile as other parts of the country. I could be wrong, but, just having done stories through the years, it's always been interesting to see how in the Bible Belt, there seems to be a lot more tolerance towards, you know, somebody, a teacher, let's say, who happens to be a Christian. Not that they have to say anything about it, but just their demeanor, you know, it radiates.
Absolutely. You know, there really is a diversity out there. You can get, in the middle of the Bible Belt, you can get teachers who are totally hostile towards a Christian worldview. And even in the middle of the San Francisco Bay Area, one of the least church places in the entire nation, you can have some solid Christian teachers where, you know, a Christian student's faith would be honored in that scenario. And, you know, actually, I'm going to be coming out to Florida in February, the first 2 weeks of February next year. So would love to head down to Fort Lauderdale or wherever and do a talk on the book if that's a possibility.
Well, that's we'll explore that off the air. That sounds good. The percentage of students in the country that go to public schools used to be about 90%. Is that still roughly accurate?
It's down to about 85% now.
Where would the rest be going? Homeschools, Christian schools, private schools?
Exactly. Homeschool, Christian school, and the like. That's right.
Homeschool's really taken off as a movement.
Yeah. I mean, look, like we say in the book, your first thing is to pray about where your kids should be educated. And most importantly, parents need to be educating kids in a solid biblical worldview. So wherever you're called, whether it's homeschool, Christian school, public school, you know, seek the Lord on where to educate your children.
You know, it's also true that God will hold the parents accountable. So even if they send their child to whatever school, ultimately the buck stops with the parents, not with the, you know, the local school teacher or principal or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we have in chapter 3, it's who is your family's anchor? And so we make that exact point, Jerry, that it is the parents' responsibility, whether it's Deuteronomy 6 or other passages. Mm-hmm. Parents are the ones responsible to train up their children the way they should go. And passing that torch of faith on to our children is one of our most important and primary ministries as a family.
What would you recommend if somebody felt that, okay, they're not happy with their local public school, they don't see any viable alternative, they can't afford a Christian school, some of the Christian schools are very expensive, what could they do?
You know, there are many alternative charter schools popping up. We're actually educating our kids right now in a public charter school here in Bend, Oregon. Hmm. And there's some great alternatives out there that are very flexible, that you know, allow your students a diversity of models and schooling, you know, curriculums to consider. So I would say really look into all the different options out there. And we reference some of those in the book, you know, on how to do this. But yeah, really look into the other alternative charter schools and just alternative models of education.
Why the title Navigating Public Schools?
Well, you see it almost daily, where there's this onslaught, this tempest, this storm coming at Christians at times. And so we have this navigational theme on how Christians, whether they're parents and students or teachers, administrators, anyone, how we can navigate these sometimes, you know, tumultuous waters that are our public school system.
Hmm. All right. How about a closing thought in 15 seconds?
You know, we just feel like the Lord wants to use this book in an encouraging way, whether it's Josh McDowell or J.P. Moore and Alliance Defending Freedom. We've gotten incredible endorsements.
Great.
So we just want to encourage people to check it out. And if you're involved in public schools, go to preparetheway.us, like United States, and check it out.
Stephen Williams, again with his wife, Sarah. They wrote the book, Navigating Public Schools. Stephen, thanks so much for being with us on Focal Point. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.